As far as mill rates go, Sitka has one of the lowest caps in the state, 6 mills, and it's been that way since 1990. Back then, Prudhoe Bay was entering peak oil production, Sitka's roads were freshly paved, and the population was steadily increasing. It was a different time for Alaska and for Sitka. And as John Stein, who is voting yes on Proposition 1, argued, times have changed.
We enjoyed those years of low mill levies, and it's time to pay the piper.
Sitka is further challenged by diminishing state support. In FY17, Sitka received only $700,000 from the state, compared to $3 million 4 years ago. If the city budget were a basketball team, that's like having your center, the guy who catches all the rebounds, catch the flu. Gary Paxton, Marjorie Parmalee, and Robin Sherman, who joined Stein for the forum, all agreed that Sitka needed to look within for solutions. Here's Paxton.
How do we ensure that those people in our town who are incredibly valuable to us can still afford to live here?
But the group disagreed about whether raising property taxes should be a part of Sitka's overall strategy for making ends meet. The yes and no camps differed on 3 fundamental points. I'm going to walk you through them one by one. First, can Sitka homeowners afford an 8-mil property tax? For Marjorie Parmalee, who worked in the city's financial department for 25 years, the answer is no. A 2-mil bump is too extreme.
I think this whole pill would be a lot easier to swallow if we were at 1 millage rate instead of 2 at a time. 33% is a huge hike at one time, especially when we're already reassessing our property.
The city is working to bring all of Sitka's properties up to market value, 2/3 of which haven't been assessed since 2003. When complete, this would generate an additional $1 million in revenue, but the city won't be seeing that money for another 4 or 5 years. Robin Sherman, who is voting yes on the ballot question, pointed out that once property values go up, the assembly can lower the mill rate. That's how property taxes work. And she added, high property values aren't a bad thing.
A big part of the value of your home is the attractiveness of your community. And I think part of the reason why property values are so high in Sitka is that this is a really fabulous place to live. And part of that is our harbors, our trails, our good schools, our libraries, and our parks.
All of which could be on the chopping block if Sitka doesn't find the revenue it needs to maintain the current level of city government. Right now, city administration is forecasting a $2.5 million deficit to the general fund for FY18. Paxton questioned whether Sitka's needs were that dire.
Deep breath, Pax. The sky is not falling. This is a time in the next 5 years, in my view, maybe you're postponing disaster, but that you need to be really prudent about what you do and how you spend your money.
Which brings me to sticking point number 2. Should Sitka shrink the size of its government? The phone lines were open during the forum, and some callers said, yeah, citing new vehicles and capital projects as examples of exorbitant city spending. But other callers disagreed, saying the city can be trusted to spend the money wisely, and that too much was at stake if Sitka reduced further, like the schools or roads. The prospect of returning to, say, gravel roads was unacceptable for Stein, the former mayor of Wasilla.
Up in the Northland, we couldn't maintain roads that had more than 300 vehicles a day on them. And there's issues like dust and grit and dirt and all that kind of thing when roads deteriorate. And I think that's a huge quality of life issue.
So cutting back city services does have consequences. Which brings me to the third and probably the most important question. Is raising property taxes the best way to resolve the city's budget deficit? Paxton thinks not. He'd prefer to see the sales tax be 6% year-round. For Sherman, sales tax hikes hurt local businesses and low-income families, while property taxes, she argued, are more equitable. But the real reason she supports the measure is because if it passes, the assembly will dedicate 1 mil of revenue to the electric fund to assist with paying off the Blue Lake Dam. That infusion would buffer the need for an electric rate increase beyond 5% this year. Sherman is worried that if electric rates aren't tempered and the winters remain warm, it will be lights out in Sitka in more ways than one.
The dam is the big expensive item, but generation is useless if your distribution system is falling apart. So I don't want to skimp on the maintenance that we need, because I want to know that my lights and my refrigerator and my heating system are going to work.
This notion, though, of bailing out the electric fund with money from property taxes, not utility payments, bothered Parmalee.
Enterprise funds need to support themselves. That's the whole goal. That's the whole way government is set up. Are we setting a precedent?
In which holes in one fund are plugged with money from elsewhere. Now, if the ballot question passes and the SICA Assembly raises rates by 5% during its meeting next week, SICA will be able to close the budget gap for the electric fund. But what about next year? In an email to KCAW, Utility Director Brian Bertacci said that if electric usage continues to decline, FY18 may demand another rate increase by as much as 15%. The Blue Lake Dam is just that expensive, and a huge part of the reason why SICA finds itself in a tough spot, having to pay its biggest bill with less money than it's had in decades. Paxton, for his part, felt that the next 5 or 10 years will be tough, but that SICA can pull through.
Listen, SICA's best days are still ahead, and we're going to sort this baby out.
Especially, he quipped, if the city is blessed with many cold winters. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.